Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill Gross joins us. Of course, he appeared with Michael McKee and Trish yesterday afternoon. We greatly appreciate his time out in this tumultuous morning. Mr. Gross is with PIMCO. Bill, good morning.
Hi, Tom.
Bill,
fun today.
Well, it's sport. We'll get to the bond market in a minute. Bill, you talked yesterday to Michael McKee about the structural and cyclical challenges an economy faces and how a Fed must address it. Isn't the Fed in a position where they can only address and think about the cyclical markets, that it's really not their mandate to address structural economic issues?
Well, I think you're right that it's been their historical mandate to address cyclical issues that were model-driven. I think as we evolve into the 21st century, you know, it's important to recognize, however, that there are structural problems that, you know, inhibit cyclical growth or promote cyclical decline. And, you know, to avoid demographics and to avoid globalization, to avoid technology and the race against the machine in terms of job destruction, I think is beyond common sense.
The criticism that you gave yesterday, is it simply a doubt over an ability to grow 3% plus per year?
It is. And, you know, the chairman suggested yesterday that once we get through this soft patch of fiscal austerity in the U.S., that the 3% number is indeed where we should be and where they expect to be, and that's what will drive unemployment down, presumably, to 7.25 to 7, and then to 6.5%. You know, we have our doubts at PIMCO because of these structural influences, and I think as well, this is interesting, Tom, that you know, the chairman was rather dismissive in terms of mortgage rates. He said that housing prices were, you know, somehow more correlated to the Michigan Consumer Survey, and that mortgage rates didn't have much of an influence on home prices. I calculated this last night from September of 2012, or even from January of 2013. You know, mortgage rates have increased the average monthly payment for a new home by 20 to 25%, and you know, to dismiss that increase in cost based upon higher interest rates, I think is not only dismissive, but again, you know, not reflective of what may lie ahead in terms of housing prices and the real economy.
Well, with all due respect to your forecast, isn't what you're saying essentially irrelevant to Ben Bernanke, in the sense that if you're correct, then they won't be tapering?
What, if I'm correct, there will be tapering?
There will not be tapering, because the economy won't be growing fast enough, unemployment won't be going down, housing, which he touted as a strength yesterday, won't be rising.
I think that would be true. I also think, though, that in the interim, the you know, the destruction and the higher volatility created not just in U.S. markets but global markets. I mean, look at the Brazilian stock market is off another 4% today. The liquidity in global markets and global fixed income is almost non-existent. And so, you know, to wave a white flag 3 months from now and say all clear, you know, sorry, you know, we miscalculated, would be fine, I suppose. But in the process, the trust of markets, the volatility of markets, could probably never again, you know, be regained to the point towards which they, you know, so significantly drove markets over the past 2 or 3 years. I mean, Janet Yellen's task was to dampen volatility, to lower that term premium, to calm markets, and they did that. But now there's significant unrest, and I doubt that they ever Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Is it bad to have such? Is it good to have such low volatility that people are reaching for yield? And a lot of maybe what we're seeing here is people either trying to get out of trades or hedges that are going to be dangerous in a higher interest rate environment. And a higher interest rate environment is going to come eventually anyway.
Well, that's a fair comment. And Mohammed and I were talking about this yesterday at an investment committee, and suggesting that there has been for a few months an undercurrent of of discontent at the Fed from the hawks and from Jeremy Stein in terms of his paper about you know, accelerating risk. And I think it is fair to dampen speculation. And I would, to be fair to the chairman and the Fed, I would say they've got a very tough job that, you know, to dampen speculation almost necessarily, you know, induces some type of threat to funding. But to go so far as they have gone, I think is, has presented just the opposite on the plate.
Bill Gross with us, folks, from PIMCO. Bill, to switch over to market action here, what is your reading on how central banks ignore or respond to market moves? You mentioned some of these emerging market challenge. I hope Lupin Rahman's got a seatbelt around her chair out at Newport Beach. But, Bill, the fact is you're down 4%, I believe, on value from early May. 30-year bond is down 12%, et cetera, duration-based, and you're doing better given your skills and all that. Fine, but there's a point where banks have to respond to markets. Are we near that point, or do we continue with this carnage for weeks or even months until some of the major central banks blink?
Well, the major central banks versus the peripheral central banks, I guess, are two separate questions. You raised the major central banks. I would say that, for instance, Brazil this morning is spending, you know, $3 billion of their dollar reserves in order to support the currency, and they've been doing that for a few days and a few weeks with not much success. So, you know, at the periphery, central banks are trying to calm their respective markets. In terms of the developed markets, in terms of the yen and the ECB and the Fed and perhaps the you know, the UK, we are at a point where, even though Bernanke has suggested they could go the other way and they could increase, you know, it's fairly obvious to us and to the private market that that's more of a bluff than a reality. And so, you know, it's down to us, I guess, in terms of the private market. We look around and we say, who is going to bail us out? Where is the Bernanke put? And the fact is that there's not much left in terms of a Bernanke put. And so I don't expect central banks to put forth much of a response, no matter what markets do.
Bill, I know you turned from your Bloomberg this morning to your ancient Monroe Trader to calculate the tipping point, that important inflection point on a 10-year yield. We're at 238, 242 earlier. Does Bill Gross have in his mind an important level of 10-year yield where things unwind? Is it 250? Is it 270?
Well, I look at the charts, too, and I look at the Bloomberg charts, and I look at them not only now but last night, and ad infinitum, I suppose. It's a wonderful and handy tool, not to, to stroke anybody's ego, but it is true. And, you know, it seemed to me last night that on the 10-year, 240 on the 10-year is a significant area of support in terms of prices and resistance in terms of yields, and so we will see. You know, we're at 238, and Lord knows what happens between now and the end of the day, or now and the end of the week. But you know, despite the technicals, which is your question, the fundamentals, to my way of thinking, suggest that if inflation is really 1%, that we've got a 1.5 or 1.40% real yield on a 10-year treasury, and I suspect, Tom, that the real economy cannot handle these types of yields. There's too much leverage in the global financial system and in the U.S. financial system, and that's another way of saying that a 2.40% treasury, despite the fact that it's artificial because of the leverage in the system and because of the risk for higher rates and the effect on home prices, and I don't think it will last long here.
Mike, jump in here
because
quickly.
You don't say you think it will last because the markets will correct or because the Fed is going to be forced to act?
No, because the markets will correct. I don't think, we were talking about this yesterday too, can Bernanke come out with a mea culpa misinterpretation statement today? You know, they don't do that in the first place. Maybe, you know, in front of Congress in a week or two, he can attempt to clarify. But I think the Fed basically is committed to what they're going to do, and it's dependent upon what the real economy does. We simply think the real economy won't follow the path that the Fed thinks it will, because the Fed is based on a cyclical model that's inappropriate.
Bill, thank you so much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.